This is the passage of scripture that the Lord has laid on my heart to preach to you this morning for the beginning of this new year, and that the Lord has given us this year, and opportunities that lie ahead for us to be used for His honor and His glory. And we're going to look at a parable that is written in Luke chapter number 13. I'm going to take the time to read to you the four verses in this parable. And then I would like to give us several truths from this parable this morning that I trust will be a blessing to you today. A parable that Jesus tells, just like Brother Terry said a moment ago as he read some verses from John chapter number 15. These are the words of Jesus as Jesus speaks this parable during his earthly ministry here in Luke chapter number 13. Verse number 6, the Bible says this: He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. Now the thought that I trust will be an encouragement to you is really found in verse number 8, but we're going to talk about this parable in whole, but the thought, I guess, was springing from verse number 8. It says, And he answered and said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also. God has enabled us to enter into a new year, hasn't He? And so I want to give some challenges from this parable here in Luke chapter number 13 with this title in mind, one more year, one more year. God's given us another year, again, to use, I'm trusting, for His honor and His glory. Let's pray for just a moment. Father, would you speak to our hearts here today? Lord, would you use the Word of God today from this parable to encourage us? Lord, may you speak to us in such a way that we're willing to make decisions for you today. Lord, I pray if there's somebody here today that's come to church but has never come to the Savior, that they would come to know you today as Savior and walk away from this building this morning knowing for sure that they have hope of heaven and eternity with you. Lord, I pray if there's one today that may need to confess some things to you today, I pray you'd speak to our hearts in such a way where we'd be willing to confess and do, Lord, what you'd have for us to do and how you speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray if there's one that just finds encouragement from this message to press forward into the year ahead and take advantage of opportunities the Lord gives to them in this new year, that, Lord, you'd encourage us that way as well. So bless us from this reading of this parable here in Luke chapter number 13 as we look to it from your word in Jesus' name. Amen. In this parable, a man plants a fig tree in his vineyard. This parable is going to teach us several lessons. As a matter of fact, we're going to give you a couple truths from this in just a moment. It's going to teach us several lessons. It's going to teach us some valuable lessons about fruitfulness or fruitlessness. We're either fruitful or we're fruitless. And so it's going to teach us some valuable lessons in that way. It's also going to teach us some valuable lessons about being long-suffering, about having patience and extending mercy. And we'll learn that today as well as we go throughout this parable. But then it's also going to teach us a wonderful importance or a wonderful lesson or truth about opportunities that are yet to come. Remember, as he made the statement there in verse number 8 that we read, give it one more year. Opportunities that are to come. And we'll talk about that throughout this parable today. I want you to notice three truths this morning. Number one, I want us to see from verse number 6, I want us to notice the unproductive reaping. I want us to notice the unproductive reaping. Would you look at verse number 6 again with me? He says, He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came. So he's planted this fig tree, the Bible says, but he came to it, and he sought fruit thereon, and he found none. The unproductive reaping. The owner came to see if this fig tree that he had planted, was bearing any fruit. And to his disappointment, he found that it had not produced any fruit at all. Now we think of this tree that's written in this story here, this parable that Jesus gives. Of course, we understand a parable to be an earthly story that Christ wants to give a heavenly meaning with. So he uses something that we can understand on an earthly basis to help us to apply something in a heavenly way. And so this fig tree that's used in this story, they were valuable trees because not only because of their shade, but they were valuable trees because of their fruit as well. I want you to think of this fig tree in light of a physical illustration, again, as Jesus gives an earthly illustration, but I also want you to think of this fig tree in light of a spiritual application or a spiritual truth today as well. Physically, a fruitful fig tree would become a symbol of security and prosperity. If an individual would own a fig tree that was very fruitful, it'd be a wonderful picture of security. It would be a wonderful picture of prosperity. But in a spiritual sense, let's look at a fruitful tree or a fruitful life as being a symbol of godly living. Living in obedience to the commands of God in our lives. Now, this particular tree in this story, it was an unproductive tree. Can I ask you a question by way of application today? As the Lord looks at your life today, does He see you as being productive or are you unproductive? Are you fruitful or are you fruitless? Does He find any fruit in your life? Have you had a productive or a fruitful year in 2022? Would you ask yourself that question today? As I look back over the year of 2022, has it been productive? Has it been fruitful? Is there evidence in your life that you are a Christian by your fruitfulness, by your productiveness for the Lord? Is there evidence in your life of the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life? The Bible tells us about the fruit of the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter number 5. We have that list of the 9 fruit. You'll notice that the Bible refers to them as the fruit of the Spirit, not fruits of the Spirit, because God does not desire that we pick and choose from them. He wants us to apply all of those character traits to our life. He wants us to have all of those characteristics in our life. That same chapter gives us the works of the flesh. So we've got a comparison, or we've got a contrast there, between the works of the flesh and then the fruit of the Spirit. Can I ask you, is the fruit of the Spirit evidenced in your life? Think of the first 3 fruit that the Bible talks about there in Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 22. By the way, the fruit of the Spirit are broken up in categories or groups, 3 groups of 3. We've got the group of love and joy and peace. The fruit that deals with our relationship with God. To ask ourselves a question about that as it directs our attention to God. What is my relationship with God like? Think about the love that God wants us to have. Love supreme for Him, right? We're to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy mind and all thy strength. Every part of our being to love God. Are you producing that fruit in your life? The love that you have for God, and then the love that you have for others. A good sign that you know Jesus as your Savior, that you're one of His disciples, is when we have love one for another, right? But then this is where it gets challenging, because the Bible tells us in the book of Matthew that we're also to have love for our enemies. Love for those that even mistreat us. Love for those that despitefully use us and persecute us, the Bible says. So how's your love? And then He talks about joy. Love and joy. Do you have joy in your heart? By the way, joy is something that only comes from God. He gives us that joy that is unspeakable, the Bible says, and full of glory. Do you have joy in your life today? Would people be able to know that you're a Christian by the joy that's in your heart? Do you have evidence of that joy in your life as a child of God? Again, not happiness based on our circumstances, but joy that's eternal, that's everlasting, that Christ gives to us the moment we trust Him as our Savior. Do you have that joy? And then He talks about peace. Isn't it great to know that we can have peace with God? When we come to know Jesus Christ as our Savior, we have peace with God. Peace, again, that only He can give. Peace that passes all understanding. It's hard to even comprehend or explain to somebody in words the peace that you have because of what God does for you, how God gives you that peace. Peace with God, and then the peace of God. You're going to go through circumstances. You would admit it about 2022. You've gone through circumstances maybe you didn't understand. Maybe God put you through things that were challenging times. Maybe the loss of a loved one. Maybe the loss of a friend. Maybe a challenge that God put you through financially or physically or spiritually. But isn't it great to know that if you know Jesus as your Savior, you can still have peace in your heart? And 2022, the same thing, excuse me, 2023, the same thing will be true. You'll have the challenges of life. You'll have the ups and downs. You may have times of loss. But isn't it great to know that we have a God that gives us peace? I love that little song, even in the valley, God is good, isn't he? Even when we go through the valleys of life, God is a good God and he gives us that peace to help us. So what is your relationship with God like when we think about the love and the peace and the joy that he gives to us? And then the next set of three that deal with our relationship with others. Directing our attention to others. Can I ask you today, what is your relationship like with others? Are you manifesting the fruit of the Spirit when it comes to others around you? Think about that group of three that's mentioned. We think of long-suffering, patience. How are you with your patience this morning? Is there evidence in your life of the fact that you're a Christian because people can see the patience that you have in your life? Well, maybe perhaps we need to ask the Lord to give us more patience to others that are around us. For others that maybe can present challenges from time to time. How are you with your long-suffering? And then gentleness, kindness. Be kind one to another. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. When we look at others around us, let us look at others in the eyes of Jesus Christ, how he was willing to forgive. He was willing to show kindness even when we were unlovely, even when we were sinners. The Bible says he commended or showed his love, proved his love to us, demonstrated his love in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The kindness that God extended to us. How are you with your kindness today? Are you able to evidence that fruit in your life? What about the idea of goodness, the character trait, the fruit of goodness in your life? I think of the definition for that word that I've often used over years of studying through the fruit of the Spirit, the idea of the uprightness of our heart, the fact that we're just able to do that which is right to other individuals. We're to do that which is good or that which is right, to have an uprightness in our heart so that we treat others the right way. How are you doing when it comes to your relationship with others? And then think about that last set of three in that list of the fruit of the Spirit, that last set that directs our attention to ourselves. It deals with our relationship with ourselves. What kind of person are we? What kind of Christian are we? Think about those words. The word faith. The word faith. How is your faith today? Are you trusting God the way that you should as you move into 2023? There's challenges that lie ahead. So are you trusting God? Are you putting your faith in him, knowing that there's going to be some things that are going to lie ahead and you're just simply going to have to take him at his word and you're going to have to trust him? We're going to have to ask the Lord from time to time to increase our faith. Notice what we sang in the hymnal today. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory that we have through the Lord Jesus Christ. How is your faith today when it comes to your relationship with yourself? What kind of person you are? What kind of Christian you are? And then meekness, humility. Meekness. Are you a humble individual? Have you humbled your heart before the Lord at times when, again, the challenges you faced in 2022 and the challenges that lie ahead for 2023. And then temperance, being able to have self-control. What is your self-control like today? Are you able to say, I have the evidence of the fruit of the Spirit in my life? Are you bearing the fruit that Christ wants you to bear? Remember back to the story, there was an unproductive reaping. He went out to the tree and there was no reaping to take place because it had not reaped any fruit. God wants us to be like a fruitful tree, doesn't he? See, there's a difference between being fruitful and fruitless. God wants us to produce fruit. God wants us to be like that fruitful tree that brings satisfaction and brings pleasure to the owner. God says, I want you to be fruitful in your life. There's passages of Scripture that deal with that. Psalm 1, I love Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. For his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. God says, that's the kind of Christian I want you to be like, the tree that's planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit. Are you unproductive in your life or are you productive? Are you fruitful or are you fruitless in your life? Look with me, if you would, at John chapter 15. Brother Terry read a few verses from John chapter 15. Look with me, if you would, in John 15. Look down at verse number 5. John chapter 15 and verse number 5, Jesus says this, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. What kind of tree does God want us to be like? He wants to be like the fruitful tree. He wants to have a fruitful life. He says, without me, he says at the end of the verse, ye can do nothing. I love that little song we'll sing from time to time on the bus. Jesus is the vine and we are the branches. His banner over me is love. What is the thought there? John chapter 15, that he's the vine, we're the branches. We're connected to the Lord. We can't abide without him. Look down, if you would, at verse number 8. Herein is my Father glorified. All right, let me ask you a question. Do you want to bring glory to God? How do you bring glory to God? We often pray for that, don't we? Lord, we want to bring honor and glory to you. That's a statement you hear around here a lot because we want to, right? We want our lives to bring honor and glory to the Lord. We want our families to bring honor and glory to the Lord. We want our church to bring honor. We want our services to bring honor and glory to the Lord. All right, well, the Bible tells us how we can glorify him. How do you glorify the one that's your master? Look at verse number 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be, he says, my disciples at the end of verse number 8. Now, I love John chapter 15. If you really take the time to study out John chapter 15, where it's talking about the fruitfulness as we're connected to the vine of Jesus Christ, you'll notice as you read through John chapter 15, he talks first about he wants us to bear fruit. Then he goes on to say, I want you to bear more fruit. Then he goes on as the chapter goes on in John chapter 15, and he says, I want you to bear much fruit. Let me ask you this, are you a fruit-bearing Christian, or do you want to go to the next level and say, I want to bear more fruit for Christ? And then you get to the place where you say, I want to live in such a godly way and have such a godly testimony that I want to bear much fruit for Jesus Christ. He said, then shall you be my disciples, he says. Look with me, if you would, at Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, and look at verse number 11. Philippians chapter 1. And find verse number 11 when you found Philippians 1. He says this verse, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. He wants us to be filled with the fruits of righteousness in our life. So God wants us to be like a fruitful tree. And then can I say this, if we go back to the passage of Scripture in John chapter 15, and we'll look at it in just a moment. He at times has to chasten us and prune us in order to be more fruitful and more productive. You know, you might look back at 2023 and you might say, well, there's some times where I feel like I've been pruned. I've been chastened. Well, God says there's a reason why that happens, so that you can bear more fruit, so that you can be more productive. He's not satisfied with our growth, and neither should we be. If we're in a place where God says, I'm not satisfied with your growth, I want you to bear more fruit, and then I want you to bear much fruit for me. If he's not satisfied with our growth spiritually, why should we be satisfied? God, go ahead. At times, you might have to prune me. You might have to chasten me, but I understand you're doing it for my good, for your glory, so that I can bear more fruit. Look back with me, if you would, at John chapter 15 again. Look at verse number 2. It tells us what Jesus does as he prunes us. The Bible says in verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. He prunes us so that we can bear more fruit. Look at Hebrews, if you would. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Kind of journeying through the Bible here this morning. It helps us, doesn't it? Hebrews chapter 12. Look, if you would, at verse number 11 in Hebrews chapter 12. He says, now no chastening, for the present seemeth to be joyous. Now, I don't know if I've ever had a time where I've corrected my girls where they were joyful about it. Oh, boy, I'm going to get corrected for what I just did. I'm excited about that. No, they don't do that. By the way, they don't step in line to take each other's either. And they also will remind you when you didn't correct the other one, but they wouldn't remind you if they needed to be corrected. You understand what I'm talking about. So he says chastening is not something that's joyous. It's not something that we're necessarily have a lot of joy in, but notice what it says, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby. Now, you probably remember hearing the statement, oh, I'm doing this because I love you. I'm doing this because it's going to help you. And as a child, what did we always think? Are you kidding me? You're not doing this because you love me. You're not doing this because you're trying to help me. This hurts. But now as an adult, I see that in a greater way than I've ever seen it. Yes, I'm doing it because I love you. I don't want you to just go do whatever you want to do. I want you to be a child that honors the Lord. and lives the way He wants you to live. That's why God does what He does for us. He chastens us. He prunes us so that we can be able to bring forth more fruit. And it might seem grievous at first. It might not be joyful, but it works to our good and it works to the glory of God. So He prunes us. Even when we are fruitful, you say, well, wait a minute, I was being fruitful and God was pruning me so that you can be more fruitful and that you can bear much fruit for Him. It hurts, but at the same time, it helps, doesn't it? You say, man, that's something that didn't feel real good, but it helped us, right? We don't enjoy it, but we need it. It would be like the child that would say, I don't really enjoy this, it's hurting me, but the parent letting them know, hey, this is something you need so that you can understand how you're to live. Understand to live the way that God would be pleased in our lives. So trials can be those pruning times. Chastening can be those pruning times to help develop our fruitfulness for the Lord so that we are fruitful instead of fruitless. But we've got to get to the place where we respond to those trials the right way. It's not about getting angry in the trials. It's not about getting impatient in the trials, but saying, Lord, I may not understand it all. It may not feel so good right now, but Lord, I realize it's working out for my good so that I can be more fruitful. He wants to, as He prunes us, He wants to increase our faith, doesn't He? He wants to increase, just by the way, it goes back to the fruit of the Spirit, right? Faith, meekness, temperance. He wants to increase your faith. He wants to increase your character. He wants to increase your fruitfulness. He wants to increase the blessings in your life. He wants to increase your closeness to Him. Are you a productive Christian because you're fruitful, or have you been unproductive because you're fruitless? We notice, number one, the productive reaping, but would you go back to the text and notice, number two, the unsatisfying results. The unproductive reaping. He goes to the tree. He notices it has been able to bear no fruit. And the Bible tells us then He makes a statement about the tree because the results are unsatisfying. Look at verse number 7, if you would, with me. It says, then said He unto the dresser of His vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? Can I ask you this, before we even go to verse number 7, before we go any farther, the idea number 2 here in verse number 7 is the unsatisfying results. Let me ask you, if you look back to the year of 2023, has this year been satisfying spiritually? Has this year been fruitful? Have you been able to see fruitful results? Or would you say there's unsatisfying results? The owner of this fig tree was disappointed. He concluded that the fruitless tree needed to be removed. We've got to cut it down because it has been fruitless. It wasn't fulfilling its purpose. Can I say to you, that's an application to us today, isn't it? Are you fulfilling the purpose that God has given you to fulfill for His honor and His glory? Or would the results of your life be unsatisfying to the Savior? Are you fulfilling the purpose that He's put you on earth to do for His honor and His glory? Look with me, if you would, verse number 7. Again, there's a truth I want you to notice. Then said He unto the dresser of His vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come. It had not produced fruit in 3 years. Now, by the way, that was not 3 years' time as far as the planting of the tree, but 3 years when it had the ability to be able to bear the fruit. So it wasn't going back 3 years and saying, well, from the time I planted it. No, it's 3 years of process of being able to bear fruit and yet not producing any. It was in fertile soil, so it should have certainly produced fruit, but it hadn't produced fruit in 3 years. And so the owner of this fig tree says, well, if it hasn't produced fruit in 3 years, then I'm just assuming that it probably will not in the future. And so the owner wanted to cut it down so that it wouldn't take ground from a more fruitful tree. As a matter of fact, he makes that statement at the end of the verse. Why would we take valuable ground up with a tree that's not bearing fruit? Look what he says at the end of verse number 7. He says that statement. He says, cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? The word cumbereth there in verse number 7 has the idea of rendering barren or sterile. Here's what's happening. That fruitless tree was taking the nourishment from the ground, which made the ground of no use to other trees. No other trees are able to use this ground because the fruitless tree is taking up the nourishment from that ground. It's wasting good soil. When God looks at your life, can I ask you today, does he see fruit or would he see disappointment? Would there be unsatisfying results? Is he satisfied or would he be disappointed? Is he pleased or is he grieved? Because the Bible says it is possible to grieve the Spirit of God that lives within us as we live in a way that's contrary to the way he would have us to live. So have you been productive in bearing fruit? Have the results in your life as you look back to 2022, have they been desirable to the Lord, or would you say they've been a little disappointing to my Savior? Think about this as we're thinking about bearing fruit. Throughout the Scripture, the Bible talks to us about fruit that God wants us to bear. He talks about the fruit of soul winning. The fruit of soul winning. There's a verse, I'm going to take the time to turn to it. It's in Proverbs chapter 11 and verse number 30. You might be familiar with this, but I'm going to take the time to read it here. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse number 30. The Bible says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Now I'm going to ask you to challenge yourself for a moment here. In the quietness of your heart here, ask yourself a question. In the year of 2022, did you personally have an opportunity to win a soul to Christ? Look back over the year of 2022, in your mind, in your heart, would you be able to say, I was productive in the fruit of soul winning? I would be able to give a testimony of somebody I personally led to Christ. All right, let's go a step further. Maybe you would say, I witnessed to individuals throughout the year of 2022, but they didn't receive Christ. So that next question would be then this, in the year of 2022, did you take advantage of any opportunity to at least share the gospel with somebody? Did you try to personally tell somebody how they could know for sure that they were going to heaven? Have you been fruitful when it comes to soul winning? Has it happened in the course of this last year? Can I say this? If you'd look back over 2022 and you would say, I never gave out the gospel to anyone, I never had a chance to lead somebody to the Lord, can I ask you to do this? In the year of 2023, can I ask you to put yourself in places where that can happen this year? Put yourself in places where that can happen. You say, well, how do I do that? Why don't we start by saying, let's be part of the soul-winning ministry that we've got here in our church. By the way, we think of our soul-winning ministry as opportunities to go out and knock on doors and tell somebody about Jesus Christ. But really, every ministry we have in our church is a soul-winning ministry. Every ministry we have. People that teach Sunday school, that's a soul-winning ministry. People that go out to the public schools and teach in our Bible clubs, praise the Lord for the Bible clubs. That's a soul-winning ministry. Our bus ministry is a soul-winning ministry. The opportunity we have to give to missionaries so that they can see souls come to know Christ as Savior, that's a soul-winning ministry. Put yourself in opportunities where you can bear the fruit of soul-winning this year. You say, I look back over 2022, I didn't have a whole lot. It's not because God doesn't want to give us opportunities. Many times it's because we don't take advantage of those. There was a statement several months ago that in the month of November when we had our revival here, we had evangelist Drew Hay here, he made a statement. He said, if you ask God for opportunities, he will give them to you. Would you ask God in 2023 for opportunities to share with somebody your faith? You say, well, they might reject it, but use the opportunity to at least share your faith, the fruit of soul winning. There's a second fruit that God desires for us to produce in our life, and it's the fruit of spiritual growth. God wants us to grow, to become more like him. We see it all throughout his word that he wants us to produce the fruit of spiritual growth. He wants our life to change. By the way, that's the whole story here with this parable. He's seeing that the tree is not bearing any fruit at all. There's no growth there. There's nothing going on. 3 years have come and gone, and it hasn't been able to bear any fruit at all. God says, I want you to see the fruit of spiritual growth in your life. Can I ask you to, for a moment, pause and look back to 2023. Has that happened in your life? Are you spiritually growing to become more like the Lord Jesus Christ? Or would you say, to be honest with you, Pastor, I'm starting the year of 2023, and I'm really spiritually the same way I was when I started 2022, if I'd be honest. And you're not growing any spiritually. Can I say this as we enter into the year of 2023? Why don't we put ourselves in places where we can grow spiritually? You say, how do I do that? Well, remember, the whole idea of that fruitful tree is the idea of godly living. Let's live in a godly way. Let's have a godly testimony this year as we go into 2023. Let's make sure if we haven't been faithful to reading our Bible in 2022, that we're spiritually growing to the year of 2023 where we say, I'm going to read my Bible every day. I'm going to commit to it. And I'm going to be faithful at it. By the way, Bible reading schedule there on the back table would help you. We're on January 1st. Grab that Bible reading schedule and follow through. That'll get you through in the year. We've got a schedule back there for the young people as well. It's a couple days even over a year. They got 370-some Bible readings, so they get to even go past a year with the Bible reading, and that's exciting. But take one of those so that we can be reading the Bible like we should, so that we can be growing spiritually. How about praying? How's your prayer life? Would you be able to say in 2023, I'll be honest with you, that probably could grow a little bit. I could be spiritually growing in my prayer. How about your faithfulness to church? Would you be able to look back at 2022 and say, hey, I was faithful to the house of God. I was able to have the encouragement from the preaching of God's word and the encouragement of the fellowship that I had and the encouragement as I've been able to spend time with God's people and the what comes with that because you were faithful to the house of God. Or would you have to be would you have to look back at 2023 and say, or 22 and say there were some things that were lacking as far as my spiritual growth? I really would say I'm the same, perhaps, maybe. You know, God doesn't want us to stay a baby spiritually. He wants us to grow, doesn't he? As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, but he says that they may grow thereby, right? We start off with the milk, but then we keep moving, right? We spiritually grow. God wants us to grow to become more like him. And by the way, we'll never get to a place where we would say, I'm spiritually grown up. I can't grow anymore. If that's true, then he would have never written Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, which says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's still working on us, isn't he? To make us, as the song says, what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the sun and the moon, the stars and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me. There's an end goal that God has for us, and we're to press on to spiritually grow. So the fruit of soul winning, have you seen that in your life? If not, why don't we get to a place where we say, Lord, I have to be honest, I got to repent of that. Because, by the way, God wants us to be soul winners. God commands us. He's given us a commission to be soul winners. If we're saved and we're not telling somebody else about it, then we are not fulfilling the commandment he's given to us. And by the way, it's not just for the preacher. It's not just for the evangelist or the missionary, or the Sunday school teacher or the Good News Club worker. It's for every Christian. We're to all be faithful to give out the message of the gospel. If you'd say, I haven't done that in the past year, repent of that and say, God, I need to get busy with that. I need to take advantage of the opportunities you give me and ask you for more. And then how about your spiritual growth? Are you growing spiritually? And then the fruit of service as well. The fruit of service, the fruit of soul winning. The fruit of spiritual growth, the fruit of service in your life. I want to take the time to read Colossians 1 real quickly here. Colossians chapter 1, and I want to read verse number 10. You may take the time to find it there. Colossians 1 verse number 10, he says this, that ye may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Now watch this. Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. God has saved us so that we can have opportunities to serve him. Would you look back over the year of 2022 and ask yourself, has this happened in my life? Have I had a place of service for the Lord? In ministry in some way, have I been connected in that way? By the way, you say, you know, maybe would say today with this idea in mind, you know, there's some more ways in which I'd like to get involved in service. Let me know. We always need people to serve, don't we? And we always have opportunities of ministry that need filled. So let us know so that we can get you involved in a place of service for the honor and the glory of the Lord. Now let's go to our last thought and we'll be done this morning. We said the unproductive reaping, the unsatisfying results, but here's the good news. Verse number 8 and verse number 9, I want us to notice the merciful request. The merciful request. We saw some unproductive reaping and unsatisfying results, but notice the merciful request in verse number 8. He says, and he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also. What's he saying there? Give it one more year. Give it one more year, and notice what he says there. He says, till I shall dig about it and dung it, and if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. Let the tree continue another year. Give that tree another year. He was going to fertilize the tree, he says. And if I fertilize the tree and I till the soil around it, it'll certainly have an opportunity to bear fruit and to bring forth fruit in the year to come. Can I say verse 8 and verse number 9 is a wonderful reminder of something? It's a reminder of the long suffering of our Savior. Isn't it wonderful today to consider the fact that he gives us more opportunities? Maybe even at times when we don't deserve it. I heard this week two stories just this week alone from the past several days of two individuals that in a split moment hit the ground and left this earth. Our life is but a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then it vanisheth away. But aren't you thankful that God gives us more days to use for his glory? And he gives us more opportunities. He gives us more hours. And he gives us more minutes. And he gives us more seconds to use for his honor and his glory. And he's moved us into the year of 2023. Now, we have no idea what lies ahead in these 12 calendar months. We have no idea what lies ahead. We have no idea if we will even make it to the end of 2023. Or maybe, gloriously, Jesus will return. Even so, come Lord Jesus, right? He might even return. But aren't you glad that God is a long-suffering God? And he gives us opportunities. Give it one more year. Give it time to bear fruit. To finish off our message tonight, let me ask you to consider a few things. God is going to give us time. He's given us opportunities in the year to move into the year of 2022. And there are a couple different groups of people here today that I want to encourage you that God has given you time to do something. Number one, he's given time for those that do not know Christ to turn to him for salvation. If you're sitting here today and you do not know Christ, you are not promised tomorrow. Now, I'm thankful I know the one who knows what's going to go on tomorrow, but we're not promised it, are we? And so because you're not promised tomorrow, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you ought to rejoice in the fact that you're sitting in a church right now where you have an opportunity to come to know Jesus as your Savior. You ought to rejoice in the fact that God has given you one more chance. He's given you one more opportunity. And if he speaks to your heart today and you do not know Jesus as your Savior, you wouldn't be able to say, there's a time and a place where I can go back to in my heart and my life where I put my faith and trust in Jesus. I acknowledge my sin. I believe that he died for me and he was buried and he rose again. And I called on him in repentance and faith because of his grace and because of his mercy. And I asked him to be my Savior. Then the Bible tells us very clearly that you do not have the promise of heaven. But you've got to settle that today. Because you're not promised tomorrow. So God gives you time to turn to him. But then I want us to go on to the life of a Christian today. If you do know Jesus Christ as your Savior, isn't it wonderful to know that we serve a long-suffering God who gives us opportunities to get right with him? He gives opportunities for the lost to turn to him. He gives opportunities to the saved to get right with him. You know, maybe there's somebody here today that would say, in the year of 2022, I'd have to be honest, I haven't been as right with God as what I should have been. I know I'm saved now. I know I've got a relationship with him. That can't change, right? Praise the Lord. But you say, you know, my fellowship wasn't as sweet as what it should have been. My soul wanting wasn't what it should have been. My place of service wasn't really where it should have been. I haven't been growing spiritually like I should. Isn't it wonderful that God will give you a chance to repent? He'll give you a chance to change. And then as he gives you a chance to change, then he gives you an opportunity to bear fruit. Man, I'm thankful that we have a long-suffering God who gives us opportunities to get things right. But then I want us to notice one more thought. He also gives us opportunities to develop fruitfulness in our life, maybe in even a greater way than we've already been fruitful for him. Remember what he said, I want you to bear fruit, then I want you to bear more fruit, then I want you to bear much fruit. Maybe you can look back over the year of 2023 and you'd have to say, I'd be honest. I mean, certainly more that we could do. We understand that. But I've endeavored to win souls for Christ. I've tried to grow spiritually. I've tried to serve the Lord to the best of my ability and fulfill his purpose for my life. He wants us to develop even a more fruitful life in the year of 2023. And he's given us opportunity to do that, hasn't he? He's given us opportunity to develop more fruitfulness in our life. God wants to give his blessings to you. God wants you to bear fruit, and then he wants to purge you so that you can bear more fruit and then much fruit. God wants that in your life this year. So if you're not saved, he's given you an opportunity to turn to him. If you are saved and you say, I'm just not where I should be with the Lord, he's given you opportunity to repent, deal with that, and get right with him, and move forward in the year of 2023. He's given you opportunity to develop even a more fruitful life for him. So can I encourage you, let's be faithful in 2023. We must be faithful in order to be fruitful. You say, well, I have to be honest, I haven't been fruitful because I haven't been very faithful. See, we've got to be faithful in order to be fruitful. Moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. If you want to be fruitful, you've got to start with faithfulness. Let's be faithful in the year of 2023. Let's be faithful all that God wants us to do. Let's be faithful so that we can be fruitful. And then we must be fruitful in order to be useful. God wants you to be faithful so that you can be fruitful. And as you are fruitful, then you are useful. Oh, for the honor and the glory of the Lord, let's bear fruit for Him this year. Let's remember the unproductive reaping, the unsatisfying results, but the merciful request. God's given us opportunity as we move into 2023. Let's be faithful and fruitful and useful. Father, thank You for the truth from the Word of God today. Lord, I thank You for putting this passage of Scripture in Luke chapter number 13 on my heart as